So last week I also spoke here on the Sunday, and that week I spoke about the 15th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, which is known as the Yoga of the Supreme Person. And then we spoke about Sarvasya Chahamri Sanivisto Matasmi Dir Agyan Jnanam Apohanam Sucha. That the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is present within the heart of every living being, and that from him comes remembrance and forgetfulness. So today I thought of backtracking to the beginning of the chapter. And so I'll read the first few verses. Sri Bhagavan Vacha Urdvamunam Madashakam Asvatam Prahuravyam Chandam Siyasya Parnani Yastam Vedasa Vedavit. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, "It is said that there is an imperishable banyan tree that has its roots upward and it branches down, and whose leaves are the Vedic hymns. One who knows this tree is the knower of the Vedas. Adaschordam prasistas tasya saka gunam pravidas visaya pravalaha adaschamulanyanusantatani karmanubandini manushyaloke. The branches of this tree extend downwards and upwards, nourished by the three modes of material nature. The twigs are the objects of the senses. This tree also has its roots going down, and these are bound to the fruit of actions of the human society. Narupam asyeya tatu palabjite nantu nachadir nachata sampratista asvatam enam suvirudamulam asanga shastrena dridena chitva tata padam tat parimargitavyam yasmin gatana nivrtanti buya tameva chadyam purusam prapadye yata pravriti prastapurane. The real form of this tree cannot be perceived in this world. No one can understand where it ends, where it begins, or what its foundation is. But with determination, one must cut down this strongly rooted tree with the weapon of detachment. Therefore, one must seek that place from which, having gone, one never returns, and there surrender to that Supreme Personality of Godhead, from whom everything began and from whom everything has extended since time immemorial. Om Agyanati Marandasya Gyananana Salakriya Shakshu Namiritam Yena Tasmai Sigurudeyena. So the Bhagavad Gita here picks up an old metaphor, which is also found in various Upanishads. And the metaphor of a tree which has its branches down and its roots upward. It is said asvata. It is said asva. A means not. And sva is, one meaning is tomorrow. Therefore, where there is no tomorrow, no future. In other words, this tree is offering us no future. It is simply temporary, and everything that is taking place will not be there tomorrow. Although so many branches are coming from the roots, so many branches are spreading everywhere. It says the twigs are our fruit of activities trying to enjoy the material world. The leaves are the chandamsi, the different Vedic activities which bring material auspiciousness and which will protect our material life, protect our houses, protect our cars, protect everything. Have we not seen Vishwakarma Puja? Where we worship the tools. Maybe the man with the bicycle worships the bicycle,
Maybe one who works with a hammer worships the hammer, and it doesn't end with a computer. It doesn't end with a phone. It, whatever it is, whatever you work with, worship it as the tool and get the blessings so that it may all be auspicious and only pleasant things may come from it. In this way, blessings and blessings that are binding us more and more into material existence, more and more in material attachment, into a network that ties us all. So this tree is known as the tree of samsara, the tree of birth and death, the tree that has us locked in to material existence. And what to say? All of us have such a tree that is called our life. So one can also call this the tree of life. This is really the tree of life, this tree of Bhagavad-gita, how we are in this way entangled. So Bhagavad-gita makes it very clear. We should not waste our time in trying to control the material energy and make it more and more favorable for our stay in the material world. We should rather understand that our stay in the material world is temporary, and therefore, whatever use we make of the material energy, let it be minimized, and let us keep it simple so that we have ample of opportunity to focus on the roots, the real roots of our existence, where everything began, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So one must cut this tree of samsara, this asvata, this tree that offers us no tomorrow, with the weapon of detachment. So detachment is necessary in this world. Of course, detachment is not easily developed. The Vedic model is given of Falgu Vairagya. If you go to the state of Bihar, you can there visit Gaya. And if you go to Gaya, there is the Falguna River. And when you come to that Falguna River, I was there, and it's dry, no water, it's just a dry riverbed. But that's not all there is to it, because if you dig a little bit, about 30 centimeters, there's water. It's an underground river in that way. So Falgu Vairagya is depicting that, the underground desires that remain when we are trying to be detached, when we are trying to turn away from the material world. The 11th canto is having a solution. It says, Bhakti parasana bhava anyata tristani kakaya papada manasya tasyus tristi pustiksut apayanugasam, which compares spiritual life to eating. And it says, when you are eating, as you get filled up, you also lose taste for more foodstuffs. Even after a while, the most attractive preparation. Nah, it's okay. No, I don't want any more. Really, right? No more. So in this way, when we are filled with devotional service. The other day, I was reading that devotional service does not take away the miseries of material life. They come and go. Happiness and distress come on their own accord. Dugavat anyavat sukham kalena sarva praga biram sa. They come on their own accord in this material world. But what devotional service does, it fills up the emptiness in the heart. Now that is significant. Because this is something we all know very well. That empty feeling of not being satisfied, and nothing is satisfying, and wherever we are, it's just not complete. That feeling which we try to fill with so many things in this world, that feeling is what drives us. But nothing can permanently fill it.
Oh, yes, some things can fill it for a while.
Love.
Yeah, well. I read Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, you meet this new person, and it's like this person, it's like an ocean of qualities. Endless, unlimited. And you're exploring these qualities, and it's just so inspiring.
Then after a while, you walk around the shores and you realize it's no bigger than a pond. And you don't really care to see that person again.
So here, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta has demystified falling in love and also falling out of love. Or, well, what can I say, as it goes with time.
Whatever may be, nothing stands. Nothing stands to fill our heart. Nothing. Nothing in this world is sufficient to bring us to that point of satisfaction other than Krishna. Other than Krishna. And that is the proper understanding. That is our root. That is simply all there is. For that, to remember that, we need unlimited help. There is the glitter of the material energy, and it's everywhere. And so many things look very attractive. And there are two aspects to Maya's influence. One is known as the Praksepatmika Shakti, the other one is known as the Avaranatmika Shakti. Or one is known as the throwing potency of Maya, the other one is known as the covering potency of Maya. The throwing potency is reserved for those who are fresh in the material world.
Ah, yes,
for those who are taking up the material pleasures and who have just decided to renounce it. No more, no. I don't want any more. I've had enough. No, really. Material life, I know very well what it brings, you know. Only temporary enjoyment. And when it's gone, even that becomes misery. Therefore, the material world is dukkhalayam ashashvatam. It is full of misery and temporary.
I'm renouncing it. And Maya says, oh, you are renouncing the material energy.
Oh, just see. Tum, 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 tum.
Oh, the opportunity of your life.
That, what you always wanted.
Tum. You have it now. You never could. You never thought you could get it, did you? But today it's here. Oh no, if this would have only come 10 years earlier, if this would have only come before joining Krishna consciousness, I would have embraced it. Sure. Oh no, why does it come now? This is unfair. This is too much.
No.
Yes. It is here.
Yes, it has come now. Yes.
For you.
Take it. Oh my God, if I let it go.
No, really. If I let this one go, I'll never forgive myself.
Yeah, then what to do?
No.
I can always be Krishna conscious tomorrow.
Oh, Maya. It's so sweet. Oh gosh, it's so good, 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 good. How could I forget you for all this time?
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna.
Oh. And suddenly Maya, seated on a tiger with 10 arms and in one holding a trident. Suddenly with that trident of the threefold miseries, whang! Oh.
No, we. That.
Oh, that is just. Oh.
What's that painful?
No, no. Oh, no.
No more.
Oh, I had enough.
No, 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 no.
No more Maya for me. No, no, no. Never again.
No more. No more. No more.
Maya.
Yeah.
I know you now. Oh.
A little while later.
No, no, go away.
And this time, it really is. It is the opportunity of your life. It is. Take it, take it, take it, take it now. It is, it is. Come on.
No, no.
It was too painful.
It was too painful.
But then again, it didn't last very long.
It was painful. Oh, like hell. It hurt like hell. But then, it was only short, actually. It was intense, but short. You know what I mean? And after. So, okay.
Oh, God, this is good. This is good.
Oh, is it good? Is it good? Ah.
That is good. Oh, that's so good. Pratsakam vikashakti and avaram vikashakti. The throwing potency and now the covering potency set in. And the covering potency now fully sets in and says, well, you know, if you never suffer, how can you enjoy?
Ah! That makes a lot of sense, yes?
And willingly we suffer, as Srila Narottama Thakur said, Manushya Janma Paye, this human form of life I received.
Janya Sunya Bisakaina, willingly, knowingly, I was drinking poison.
So, this is the Jnana Kanda Karma Kanda Kevala Bisaravan. As long as we're trying to enjoy this material world,
or as long as we're trying to escape. There's two things. One is embrace.
The other one is the fugitive. Always on the run. Right? On the run. Oh, gosh, no. Watch out. No. Danger at every step. Oh, my God, the roof can cave in.
But we have security arrangements. Therefore, it's all right. Double lock, triple lock, you know, and an extra, you know, electric fence. And, you know, there is, like, an alarm system which is connected to armed response in the neighborhood. And in case that doesn't work, we have doors that automatically lock between the rooms while sending out an automatic alarm electronically. Costs an arm and a leg. But we have, yes.
We are safe, but not completely, because you never know. You know, what if someone makes a tunnel underground? In that case,
my God, I never thought of that.
Jeez,
you know, the roof is made of steel, it's impenetrable, but the ground we haven't covered.
From all sides, we must cover ourselves. Run from danger. Fear.
What? You. There was a worry tank, a group of people seated around the table, and they were thinking all together and worrying, and one was saying, what if something will go wrong?
The other one was saying, what if nothing will go wrong?
Oh, my God.
And we worry, and we escape, and we try to escape suffering.
Same thing, the other side of the coin. That is the jnani. The jnani is trying to escape. The jnani is trying to get out of the material world.
The karmi is trying to enjoy the material world. We must let go. We must cut that tree.
It is this jnana and this karma that creates this endless tree of so many branches, life after life. And then,
When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu traveled, he came through South India and he met there a great scholar in the Sri Sampadaya, Venkatabhata, and he had an interesting discussion with him. And Venkatabhata said, you must meet Ramana Narayan. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya had also earlier stated it. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, at the end of his meeting, at the end of his journey in South India, on the way back to Jagannath Puri, met with Ramananda Rai. So Ramananda Rai was meant to be a great, great scholar who thoroughly understood everything about the ultimate goal of life. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked him and inquired. And Ramananda Rai said, the goal of human life is to perfectly follow the duties of Varnashram. So, is that it? Yes, that's where it begins. It all starts with Varnashram because it all starts with our karma from last life. According to our karma from last life, we belong in a certain varna. And we'll be inclined towards a certain ashram. According to our karma from last life, what we have preoccupied ourselves with. If it was money, 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 money in last life, then you are a natural businessman. Right? You will sell your mother's milk to your twin brother. Yes. Saying the breast is empty, but it's all in my mouth. In this way, you know, natural Vaishya, all the way, seeing so many ways to make a buck, right? Life after life, we reinforce it. And thus, it begins with Varnashram. That's where we all got stuck to begin with our karma. Yeah? Whether you like it or not, you got it, and it's going to come out sooner or later. You can't change it just by desire, just by determination. And from this day on, I will be different. Ha ha. Not impressive. You won't. So, this karma is what we begin with. Yes. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, yes, but Varna Ashram, just acting according to our nature, no. This is external. Tell me, there is more. Yes, said Ramananda Rai, there is more. He said, yat karosi yat asnasi yat duhusi dadasi yat yatapasyasi kunti yat tat purushramad arpanam. Said, whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever austerity you perform, do that as an offering to me. So now it's no longer just acting according to your own nature. No, whatever you do according to your inclination, now you do it for Krishna. In this way, purify it. See? So, in this way, Ramananda Roy took it a step up. But then said, no, this is still not adequate. This is still not enough. Because it's still fruit if it's mixed. Just like my favorite example of the four-wheel drive with the, you know, in a certain city, in a certain country, a four-wheel drive with the number plate, for you, Krishna. I know who the owner is, but I will not say. If you know also don't say. But honestly speaking, when I saw that number plate, I had some doubts. You know, that's my vicious mind. It struck again and said, well, sure, for you, Krishna. Yeah. Right. And how much for yourself? Right? It's difficult. So that's the thing. Yet karosi yet asnasi. When we do what we like, when we engage our nature, this time for Krishna. Yeah. I've got this super duper for Krishna. And a little bit for me as well. So that's the situation. So therefore Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, no, this is also external. External means it regulates our activities, but it's not enough to really cut things at the root. We have to go further.
All right, Ramananda Rai said, Sarva Dharma Parichayama Vikam Saranam Raja Aham Tam Sarva Papi Moksha Ishami Masucha.
Just give up all variety of activity or religion. Just surrender unto me. Now just give up everything else. Surrender unto me. Ah, now it's getting serious, right? No longer dovetailing, no longer engaging propensities. No. Now we are going to surrender. Whatever Krishna says, whatever he wants.
Sarva dhammam parichaya. People think, well, now we're getting to the real thing. But no, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu pointed out that this tyag, this giving up of things, just give up everything, is not enough. That's still external. Right?
From this day on, I will not eat plum pudding anymore. I promise it, I swear it. Okay, that's great, a wonderful achievement. We are impressed by your renunciation. But what are you doing otherwise than not doing? That is the question. So, what are we doing then in devotional service?
Therefore, Sarva Dharma Paritaya was also still external. Giving up everything and surrendering, all right, what does it mean, this surrendering? How do you do it?
And then Ramananda Roy began to describe how there are different relationships with Krishna and how one can serve Krishna in different moods and how they are progressively better.
Satirisantaras, neutrality,
where we are seeing the greatness and the opulence of the Lord. And he says, oh my Lord, you are indeed the greatest. I bow to you. Your opulences are unlimited. That is true. But if you approach the unlimited, it's a little complicated. Because we are rather limited. Right?
It's just as we can see our limitations when we bow down in the temple. You know, it's like how you go down and how you get back up. Kind of. And their limitations do show, right? They do show. Just wait and you will see.
What can we say? Yes, and we all experience it, right? So many limitations. When we are looking at the unlimited Lord,
see? How much can we,
when we are looking at the unlimited Lord, how much can we see? Did you ever think, if you go to Mayapur now, and you look at the big temple, right? It's what you call a whopper of a building, right? And it's rather on the large side. Now, if you try to see that big temple in one glance, it's not so easy. Because where do you get like a perspective on the building where you get like a free glance where you can see the whole building in one glance? When you're in front of the building, you cannot see the building as a whole. It's not possible. It's too big. In the same way, when an ant looks at a human being, it cannot see a human being as a whole. A human being is something like a moving mountain from an ant's perspective. A foot is like a huge mountain peak just flying through the air. Right? I mean, really, in terms of measurement and perspective. So how can an ant just look at a human being like at a glance, like we can, you know, from head to toe? Striped socks and, you know, and stiffy tilak. I guess it must be Sunday. But anyway, so, but what will an ant see, you know? I mean, the striped socks will maybe look like highways, you know what I'm saying? Like highways.
So if we are the ones to look at the Supreme Lord and His unlimited feature, what can we see? We are too small. How can the small infinitesimal jiva understand the unlimited Lord? Not possible.
Therefore, this Santa Ras is limited. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu rejected it. So no, Santa Ras will not do. Dasya Ras is better.
Because Dasya Ras enters into service, and that service becomes the connection with the Lord.
One time, I was in Spain, and in Spain I met an old friend of mine. It was Mahamantra Das from Delhi Temple. So Mahamantra is a lawyer by education and also experience, although later sort of became a devotee, but still he has that mentality of a lawyer. So we were sharing the Sunday feast. So I had this creative idea, let's turn it into a debate, you know what I mean, since he was a lawyer. And then, so I said, today we want to just discuss this one point. And the point is, we want to know, we want to question, which deity is more beautiful? Radha Shyama Sundar in Vrindavan or Radha Partisarthi in Delhi? I said, well, it's obvious, you know what I mean? I'm from Vrindavan.
It's obvious. It's obvious, you know. I mean, you don't have to be partial, you know. Even an impartial observer would undoubtedly say that, like, you know, Radha Shyama Sundar are the most beautiful. I mean, is there any doubt? Mahamantra said. He said, no. No, he said, no, no. Because, you know, when Krishna becomes Partasarathi, he's more beautiful. Because it is out of mercy that he has left Vrindavan and that he has come to such a place as Delhi. And Kurukshetra in the middle of a war. He's a lawyer, you know what I'm saying?
He was good, you know. I said, yeah, but like, you know,
what about the gopis, huh? Who had to come all the way to Kurukshetra and to go and get him, right?
Because they knew very well where he is more beautiful, you know. I mean, you know, Kurukshetra or Vrindavan, you know. Anyway, we were going back and forth and we had a whole class like that, yeah?
And it was interesting, it was nice because many nice philosophical points came out. But at the end, we came to an agreement. We made a settlement.
You know, that's what you do with a lawyer, you know. It's like, you can't win the case, you make a settlement.
So in the end, we made a settlement. And the settlement was that the most beautiful deity in the world is the deity that you serve. That is the most beautiful deity.
So in this way, you can see this Dasya Ras is something. It's the deity that you serve. It's no longer the deity who's unlimited. No, it's our Lord, the one that we serve. And He reciprocates in so many ways. And say that it's not true, and that's all right for you. But I know that He reciprocates.
Yeah. Say it's my imagination, but I don't care. I don't care.
Because I know that Krishna recognizes that service. So then in service, it really begins. You can see that loving relationship really can take shape and it begins to develop. And then, of course, it continued
It went from Dasyaras to Sakyaras, and from Sakyaras to Vatsalyaras, where Mother Yasoda always is always worried about Krishna. Although, you know, I mean, he's immortal, right? He can't die, really. You know, mother's usually worried that something happens, but Krishna is immortal, so actually, you know, no need to worry. And Krishna also, you know, he is... It doesn't matter if he falls out of a tree or what, you know, he'll just stand up and walk away. Nothing will happen. It's not that there's somewhere a picture of Krishna with his arm in a sling. Right? Oh, that's when Krishna fell out of the tree. No, it's not there, that picture. There's one picture where Krishna apparently is injured, right? That when Bhishma Dev, you know, was firing his arrows at him, right? Apparently there was something like wounds, but it only made him more beautiful. And he didn't have to go to hospital or anything like that, you know. I mean, he was fine after that. Right, so that is Krishna. Krishna is always transcendental. So naturally, we see different levels of absorption and surrender. And then the highest, Ramananda Roy, established in the womb of the gopis. Because they were not asking anything in exchange for their service. Oh, yes. Ah, my dear Lord, you know, here's your servant, and your servant happens to have a pain here. Can you please cure it? No problem, dear servant. I'll fix you up. Yes, oh Lord. Lord, I've always been too short. Can you make me a little taller? No problem. That you are my devotee. As you desire, I'll fix it. Okay, while you're at it, a little plastic surgery on the nose thing. No problem. Right.
So many desires, so many things we would like to change. But the gopis had no desire for any other reward from Krishna. They never prayed to Krishna for anything because what was greater than Krishna? Therefore, what was greater than serving Krishna? What was more wonderful? Therefore, how could one ask for anything? Nothing is more wonderful than serving Krishna. Therefore, the service was the best. Therefore, Naparayaham, let your service be your reward. Krishna said, I have nothing that I can give you in exchange for your service. All that, let your own service be your reward. What? They were happy. You know, it's an invention, you know, you work for Kadamba Kamala Swami, you know, for a long time, yeah? And finally comes payday, you know, payday, payday, yay, yay, yay. What am I going to get today? It's going to be good, you know, I worked hard for a long time, now I'm going to get something really good. And then you get the following speech, you know, let all the work you have done be your reward. I mean, you know, revolution, right? You know? But the gopis did not revolt. They did not revolt. At that stage, when Krishna said that, they were very satisfied. Very satisfied. Fully satisfied. Because that service was indeed the greatest thing they ever had. That was indeed the most wonderful thing they ever had. So, after going from the Bhagavad Gita to the tree that is upside, with roots upside down, and to that tree that we have to cut with detachment, right? That was difficult, detachment. Yeah. But I pointed out that because I spoke about this hidden river under the ground, the hidden desires that stay. Govindam Adipurusam. What will be for breakfast today? We are not here Where are we? Are we here now? Are we in the temple? Or are we somewhere else in our mind? Are we actually in Gateway right now? Yes. Picking up that thing, you know, which we're going to pick up after the lecture. We're going to do it this evening after the lecture. But we're already thinking about it now, doing it over and over during the lecture. Yes. Picking it up. Where are we now? Are we home with what we forgot? Did we lock the back door? Did we lock it? Oh my God, did we really? No, did we not? Did we lock the back door? Did we not? What did the Swami say? He said, did we lock the back door? I mean, where are we? Where are we? Wandering about in our mind. Or maybe feeling sorry for ourselves. Oh, poor me. Wallowing, rolling over, not in the clover, but in our own misery. Oh, yes. Oh, everything always goes wrong for me. Oh, God. Yeah. From the moment I appeared in this world, I remember. And so on. A long sob story, soap opera, and all that. Whatever it is, whatever distracts us somehow or other, we are not there. I have the example of the Sunday feast, which is served out traditionally. Not the buffet style with a long line and everyone grab a plate. No, the actual way Prabhupada started it, by sitting people down in rows and serving out on the plate. Well, you know, that was always, not always better either. I mean, although it avoided the long, long line. You know, that long, long line in the buffet style. But the problem was, when people were sitting in rows and were being served like that, the problem was that sometimes you would sit in the line that wouldn't get it, you know. The line that gets only the rice. Sabji! 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 Hey, sabji! And then finally, you know, so you munch on your rice because, you know, you started. Finally the sabji comes, it's got like, no puri. So you munch on your rice and sabji, even swallow the whole piece of paneer, and meanwhile, puri! Puri! No puris here! And this way it goes all the way to rasgulla and gulab jamun and sweet rice, and in the end, you ate the whole meal and didn't taste a bite. You didn't taste anything. It all went down. It's all in there and you tasted nothing. Is this our spiritual life? Is this how we are practicing? Every day, ping, 16 rounds, thank God. The happiest moment of the day. And it's over, right? And do we remember? Was there any attentive round? Was there a whole round? Was there one? Do you think, can you remember one moment today that chanting was attentive?
No.
Okay, good. Can you then remember any moment that while the chanting was attentive, that you actually felt something for Krishna? Sort of, you know. I guess so. You know what I mean? Not like Rupa Goswami, tunda tanirinda tunda vali lakjate, who is saying, like, give me millions of tongues, millions of ears, while chanting Hare Krishna. When everything becomes magic. When Krishna consciousness becomes magic. It's when we love it. Things become magic when we love it. If we don't love it, it's not magic.
Everything you have to do out of duty is not magic at all. It's only when we love it that it's magic. That it be, and the more we love it, the more magic is there. But yeah, I've often said, and today I'll also say it, is that when we are encountering the limit of our love for Krishna, then what to do? Sooner or later, we all, no matter who we are, we all encounter the limit of our love for Krishna. Then what to do? Then what to do? So then turn to Lord Chaitanya. Then turn to Lord Chaitanya and take up his magic, the magic of touching other people, of giving people Krishna consciousness. And when we see that they transform, that's amazing. When we see that, of course, so many people say, no time, not interested, no thank you. No thank you, this is very nice, you are so kind. You know, so many, sometimes polite, sometimes rude, back off, you know, or even more rude, which I cannot repeat here and now. In various ways, people let us know that they're not interested. Like, I have my story how I came to the door, I went door to door, and I come to this house, and there's this lady with red hair, and she opens the door, and she goes, "Get out! Get out! Get out! Get out!" So I'm, she's like, you know, barking like a dog. So, and I hadn't done anything yet, you know, and I wasn't dressed like this either. I was dressed like a normal person. So, you know, I just looked over my shoulder to see if some animal had maybe come into the garden. But no, maybe a dog or something, or the rabbit of the neighbors who eats the flowers, you know. And she goes like, "Get out, get out!" And then, so I, but there was no rabbit, there was no dog. So I looked back at her and she said, "Yes, you! So I said, "Just cool it, lady. Just cool it. I'm already leaving." And I walked out of the garden onto the road, and there's a man. And he's sitting in front of a big Cadillac, an American Cadillac, with one of those statues on the bonnet, you know, in the front. And he's polishing the thing, you know. And then he sees me and he says, "You know what? I will never bow down, you know. I will never bow down, you know. I will never bow down." And I said, "Oh yes, you will. You're bowing down right now to your car." And I sort of had the feeling that he was the husband of that lady with the red hair. If not, they certainly would have made a great match. God. Well, that was the day. Anyhow, so we meet all kinds of people, and we're not surprised when we meet people who are not interested. But when we meet people who are interested, then everything becomes magic. That is something that really goes deep. It really touches the heart through us, you know, through you, actually. No, it's said that you did it yourself. You actually change someone's life, and they start to take to Krishna, and something happens in your heart, you know. So you get so excited and like, actually, you know, like really feel like you never felt before, and just carry on. This is the magic. And this is the magic that Srila Prabhupada gave us, because when it comes to love for Krishna, during our chanting, not too much, is it? No.
So therefore, if we see this magic of giving out this mercy, then a change of heart will come. And then, as the change of heart is there,
I was supposed to cut that tree of samsara. Oh yeah, I almost forgot about that, but no problem. We'll do that on the way.
Sure, yes. Busy serving Krishna. Busy giving out mercy of Krishna.
Oh yes, tree of samsara, chop.
Yes, and anything else? That it all happens automatically. And in this way, the ancient example of the Upanishads, in this way, the example of the Aswatthama tree, and this Aswatha, this Aswa, this tree of no tomorrow, this tree of no tomorrow is easily cut down by the devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by the followers of Sri Prabhupada. It's easily done. And that is the amazing grace that rests upon this movement. Thank you very much. Swamiji, please give me some basics on spiritual life. Serve the devotees. That's the basics. That's where it all begins. And when we serve the devotees, we serve their feet. Serve the lotus feet of the devotees. Oh, if you serve the lotus feet of the devotees, you must bow down to the devotees. Otherwise, how will you get there? And by bowing down to the devotees, it's not just about stretching exercise. Oh no. Bowing down is not only the gross body, but bow your subtle body. Bow your will before the devotees. And do whatever they say. And in that way, everything will come. Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Shastra Kaya, Loba Mantra, Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Siddhi Hari. From that, all perfection will come. That's where it begins. That's the basics. To bow down at the feet of the devotees.
Please, what causes the living entity to leave the spiritual world?
His brother said his smallness, because we are so small, we're so tiny, we're so insignificant. And then the material world, the material energy is very, very large, huge.
Maya is there for you.
Yes, for you too. Maya is there for everyone. No one is exempt.
Oh yes.
And Maya has exactly what you want. Exactly. Huh? Custom made. Huh? That's what you always missed out on all these years.
When I was temple president, one brahmachari came into my office and complained. He said, I have a complaint.
I said, all right, please tell me.
He said, I have a complaint about this Mataji. You know, she's looking at me all the time. I said, look, if you know that she's looking at you all the time, then you must be looking at her all the time. Then he says, no, you don't understand. I said, I understand very well.
He said, no, you don't understand. It means that she loves me.
I told him, get out of here. Oh, gosh.
Ah, yes. So whatever it may be, the material energy always finds something for everyone in this world. Maya is like that. She offers everyone hope on happiness. Of course, we know that that cannot be without Krishna. You know very well what romance is, what true romance is, right? Where you look your beloved in the eyes and you say from the bottom of your heart, "Darling, you are the most wonderful person in the world after Krishna."
Romantic, isn't it?
What can I say? Yeah, it is like that. Yeah, so
ultimately,
Maya is unlimited. Almost unlimited. How is it that Maya is almost unlimited? Because the material energy is the reflection of the spiritual energy.
And the spiritual energy is unlimited, and therefore Maya is almost unlimited. And then here we are, tiny little infinitesimal living beings in between the two.
And therefore, we can fall prey to Maya due to the littleness of our existence, Srila Prabhupada explains in the 18th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita in the Buddha Points. And that's all I'll say today about the fall of the jiva. In case you want to know more, books have been written about it, and if you have the database, you can look under number 28 and read about the original position of the jiva, and it's all there, and you can spend all your time happily pondering on this question: how did we fall from the spiritual world? My advice is, save it for a rainy day. Now someone has a microphone. Question or announcement? Announcement.
All right, so then I think I have done your questions.
And I thank you very much for that. Rati Acha is coming very close now. We all begin to get Rati Acha fever. I also get a little bit. I'm going to try and keep cool, but not completely cool. Sort of somewhere in between. So I'm looking forward to seeing you there. To see Jagannath Rathiyatra, Mahamansa, Kija, Shri Prabhupada, Kija.